the Paralympics are currently underway in Rio with Team GB and Ireland both doing well in the medals table. Local swimmer Bethany Firth secured another gold over the weekend for Team GB. The Paralympics show that some people can overcome disability, but journalist Ross Clark has been writing about how he, as a father of a disabled child, dreads the Paralympics. He says its Hollywood-style narratives are far from the reality of a life with a disability. Good morning to you, Ross. Your reasoning behind this. Tell us about your child.
Good morning. My daughter's 19 years old. She has mild physical disabilities, but she has severe learning disabilities, which she operates about the sort of level of a 3 or 4 year old child inside a sort of 19 year old body. I mean, she can do physical things. She can walk. She can run. She can throw. She can swim. And she very much enjoys swimming, but she would never be in anything such as the Paralympics or even the Special Olympics, which is a version for dedicated to special needs people, because she simply doesn't understand the nature of competition. I mean, if you take her bowling, for example, I mean, she'll roll the ball, she'll cheer her own efforts, which is very nice to see, but she doesn't actually wait for the ball to get down the alley and knock over the skittles. She loves arm wrestling. She'll say, I won, sort of superficially she's sort of taking part in the sport, but actually she'll say, I won, whether she won or she lost, or she'll say it even before she begins the bout. It's a sort of ritual she's learned. And what I think you have to understand when you watch the Paralympics and those events in the Paralympics, which are for people with learning disabilities, is that that is the very sort of upper end of a very broad spectrum of ability. And beyond that, there's a vast population of people who are never going to do those things. And what sort of, you know, I find a little difficult is the sort of aura that's built up around the Paralympics, which says, you know, all disabled people can do these things if only they overcome their low expectations put on them, or you know, that they're helped in such a way.
Yeah, the opinion of society on someone with a disability that they can't, and a lot would say that the Paralympics, you know, what it does is to try and hold that to account and say you can if you really want, but your daughter Eliza, it just would never be a possibility.
No,
for her.
And of course I don't want to take away from the achievements of those Paralympians. I mean, it's wonderful to see,
of course,
that them taking part and everything. But I think you know, it's the Paralympics become this sort of enormous event. It's slightly skewing our view of disability in that it's sort of concentrating minds on that sort of very upper range of ability. And, you know, for a lot of us who bring up disabled children and adults, I mean, the challenge over the next week and all time is not sort of getting somebody to break the sort of 13-second barrier in the 100 metres.
Yeah, but surely, Ross, it does go some way to change the mindsets of whatever disability it might be. I understand what you're saying in terms of it being in the kind of higher realms of ability. But there's a mindset that where it's changed, where I think from the London Paralympics in particular, whereas a disability, say for example, we see some of the runners on blades, and I've heard kids refer to them as cool now. And
yes,
there's a complete change in even that word disability.
Yeah. No, the attitudes towards people with all kinds of disabilities improved hugely over the past 30 years. I mean, it would have been horrible bringing up somebody like my daughter, you know, a generation or so ago. Nowadays, you don't get any sort of nasty remarks or anything like that. So, I mean, generally, attitudes improve hugely. But I think the way you have to understand when, you know, you see Paralympians achieving is that for most of us, for a lot of people with severe learning difficulties, the challenge is really in behaviour as much as learning things.
I mean, what about going forward, Ross? I'm conscious that we're coming up to the 10 o'clock news here, but for your daughter, for Eliza, what concerns do you have for her in the future?
Well, the biggest concern, obviously, she's 30 years younger than my wife and I, and you know, where she's very happy at home, and she there will come a point, obviously, where she's likely to live on for quite a time beyond us, and it's sort of caring for her from beyond the grave. That's the concern of most of us in this position, and you know, it's not really conceivable that she could ever lead an independent life. So, you know, there are arrangements to look after people, obviously, who don't have parents, don't have a family home to live in. But obviously, it is a concern for those of us.
I guess that's something, Ross, that you. I don't envy you at all. Obviously, it's something that I would imagine is very hard to even comprehend when you're trying to. We all want to care for our children when we're here, but when we're gone and we know they're so dependent on us.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, it's sort of funny. Well, will she be in a situation where somebody who's got the patience to deal with some of the sort of temper tantrums and the frustration, the agitation? Daughter often suffers from.
Okay, Ross, we'll have
a real challenge.
We'll have to leave it there, I'm afraid. But Ross Clark, thank you very much. We'll see you just after the news.